All right. Thank you for the introduction. So my name is Han Nguyen from UC Irvine, and this is the joint work with my colleague, Lu Fang, my advisor, Harry Chu, Professor Brian Jamsky, and Sana Salamian from UC Irvine. We also have the collaboration of Shang Lu from University of Chicago and Honor Mod Lu from ETH Zurich. So together we build the system called YAC, which is a garbage collector for big data systems. So we are aware of the existence of big data nowadays, and a program that can process a massive amount of data efficiently now becomes critical, especially for enterprise computing. To respond to this need, various framework has been developed, such as Hadoop or Spark. This framework are developed using a managed language such as Java, C Sharp, or Scala due to simple usage and automatic memory management done by a garbage collector. So let me first briefly cover how a garbage collector can identify live object and reclaim memory. So this show a heap snapshot, and the garbage collector runs will start with a set of root objects, which are the objects reachable from live variable and global variable, shown in red right here. So starting from this set, the garbage collector will do a transitive closure on live objects, and then it will keep these objects. The objects that are unreachable during the computation will be guaranteed to be dead and will be reclaimed. So as you can see, the GC cost is proportional to the number of live objects and references in the heap. As big data application contains billions and billions of objects, the cost of the garbage collection becomes the bottleneck. In fact, evidence have shown that big data applications suffer from low scalability and high management costs. The applications either crash due to memory errors, or they can spend up to half of the execution time on the GC effort alone. So how are we gonna tackle this costly management time at the fundamental problem, at the fundamental level? A critical reason for this costly runtime system is that the characteristic of the objects in big data system do not match the heuristic employed by the garbage collection. This characteristic can be best described as two paths to hypothesis. Here I'm showing the graphical illustration of a typical big data application execution in the cluster using a master and a number of slaves. The execution can be logically divided into two paths, the control path showing green and data path showing yellow. These two paths follow different heap usage patterns. The control path has complicated logics. It's responsible for driving the program logic. For example, it contains the code run on your master to interact with the outside world, fetching the input data set, and then schedule jobs on slaves. This path do not create many objects. Furthermore, these objects follow the conventional generational hypothesis. So this generational hypothesis serves as the foundation for state-of-the-art garbage collection, meaning most objects die young. The garbage collector will split the managed heap into a young generation and an old generation. It only needs to keep track of a small number of cross-read generation references to copy the live objects. And it is efficient since it only need to traverse a small portion of the heap, yet it can reclaim a lot of memory. Meanwhile, data path is completely different. It contains only data manipulation functions, the function that actually manipulate your data set. For example, it contains the built-in operators such as aggregate, join, or it can contain user-defined functions like map or reduce. Data objects are created in much more in volume comparing to the control objects. Furthermore, the data objects often exhibit strong epochal behavior. That means that their lifetime aligns really well with a computational event in the system, which we call epoch. These objects are created at the end of the epoch, and then they stay alive throughout the epoch. So let's me make it more concrete by looking at one example, the word count example in MapReduce. So the input of the map task is the document, and at the beginning of the map task, it will call setup to initialize variable. For example, it will prepare an iterator to iterate over the words in the document. Then for each word, map is called, and in here, we will create string and integer objects to represent the word and the count. As you can imagine, this process repeats, the heap is filled with millions of string and integer objects. At the end, when we reach the end of the document, then cleanup is called to send the pair of word and corresponding count to the next shuffling phase. At this point, all of these data objects are reclaimed. So through this simple example, we have two important observations. First, the map bird formed an epoch. And this epoch can be easily identified since the computation has been nicely sandwiched between the two API calls, setup and cleanup. That means that even a novice can determine the existence of the epoch in the big data systems. Second, as you can see, many data objects has the same lifetime. Therefore, if a GC is triggered in the middle of the epoch, the garbage collector will unnecessarily traverse a great number of objects in the heap, even though they are not immediately reclaimable. That explains why the big data system suffer from high costs in garbage collection. So instead of that, what if we put all of these objects in a separate memory region and then reclaim all of these objects at the end of the epoch as a whole? That would be much more efficient. And that means region-based memory management becomes the natural choice for managing the memory in the data path. So region-based memory management, or RBMM for short, is not a new thing. It has been here or there for decades. However, one can ask, can we just apply existing technique in big data system? The answer is unfortunately no, because RBMM rely on a set of inter-procedure static analysis. And these static analysis suffer from a set of known scalability problems, such as they cannot scale to big data systems that are huge in code base, distributed. They furthermore cannot work with dynamic features such as class loading, reflections that are commonly used in these systems. The second reason is that recall the execution doesn't just contain the data path, it also contains the control path. So are we gonna use RBMM on the control path also? That is not a good idea because RBMM would allow the accumulation of a great number of stale objects, while this object can be better managed by the generational GC. So therefore, what we set out to do is to combine the best of both worlds. We want to combine generational GC with RBMM in a cohesive system. The main idea of YAC is to split the managed heap into a small control space and a much larger data space. Objects created in the data path will be allocated in the data space, while those created outside will be in the control space. Control space will be managed by the state-of-the-art generational GC, while in data space we run RBMM. So recall that the data objects are in multiple order of magnitudes more comparing to the control objects, since they represent the input data as well as the result of their processing. Thus, by moving majority of the runtime objects from the control space, which is under the manage of the GC, to a data space which is now no longer subject to GC tracing, we expect to achieve a significant reduction on memory management costs. So how are we going to let the user interact with the data space? To enable a uniform treatment across multiple systems, we ask the developer to provide a pair of calls, epoch start and epoch end. So epoch start signals to the system to create a region for the epoch, and epoch end signals the region reclamation. It's worth noting that not all data objects in this newly created region expected to have the same lifetime. You might have escaping objects. Those are the objects that outlive the regions. They could be control objects that are mistakenly allocated in the data path, or they could be simply data objects that referenced by the remote stacks. So if you have a region with escaping objects, it's unsafe to deallocate this region as a whole. Just naively deallocating the whole region will give rise to dangling pointer, which leads to eventually program crashes. So existing work solves this issue by relying on users. For example, our own work, the system facade, we ask developer to manually annotate system and program code so that you take out all the control objects out of the data path to ensure that at each region deallocation point is safe to do so. Obviously, this process is an labor-intensive task, and it can take developers, even experienced developer, it can take weeks of effort. So in developing Yak, we want to solve this problem using a dynamic approach. So we want Yak to, at the allocation point, detect all escaping objects, move of those escaping objects to a proper memory region, and then proceed with the deallocation. So now the memory correctness guarantee is not on the shoulder of the developers anymore. It's on the runtime system. So as an overview, we present Yak as an automatic solution for using RBMM in big data systems. It's the first hybrid GC in our knowledge that combined generational GC with RBMM. We have implemented in OpenJDK 8, which is the open source version of Oracle or JVM. We have modified multiple components of the OpenJDK, such as the interpreter, the JIT compilers, as well as the production GC, the parallel scavenge. The result is positive comparing to the default production GC. We're able to save a third of execution time and more than two-thirds of the GC time. So now going into detail, I will just briefly mention how we're gonna do two things, how to create a region and how to reclaim regions correctly. So as I mentioned, regions is created at the point of you calling epoch start, and it will be allocated at the call epoch end. For efficiency, regions are thread local to avoid synchronization costs and to reflect nature of the epochs. They can be nested. So in the interest of time, I will just go ahead and jump into how we're gonna do the deallocation. We can discuss more of the details in the poster section. So let's assume we have here is a heap snapshot at one point of execution. Here we have the control space in red, a parent region R1 and a child region R2. We are about to deallocate region R2. So remember that Yak has to identify all escaping objects. So first, it looked into a special bookkeeping data structure to call remember set to that record all inter-region references and identify all objects that are reachable from the control space and other regions. Next, it needs to find out all objects referenced by the local stack as well as remote stack. So we can proceed with scanning local stack, then issue a barrier to pause or running thread, scanning their threads. At this point, we have the set of escaping routes. So similar to what GC does, we launch a transitive closure computation on this. And one thing that we do differently from the original GC is that we compute the relocation destination for each object. After all the computation is done, we conduct the move, then update the references. Note that updating the references might give rise to inter-region references. So at this point, the R2 can be safely and correctly deallocated, and this leads to the final heap shot. So we have evaluated YAC on three real-world systems. On each system, we use three applications with different workloads. Here I'm showing the improvement summary as normalized to the performance of parallel scavenge. Here, each bar shows the lowest and highest performance possible achieved from running a set of programs with different workloads. The red bar shows the average. Here, lower is better. So as you can see, we able to reduce significant percentage of their GC time. The application time means the non-pause time, which is sensitive to the framework for the reason that I'll be happy to take offline. And adding all of the reduction we get from GC time, we achieve 33% reduction in the total time. Of course, we conduct more experiment in the paper, and we include those numbers in the paper, which I encourage you to take a look at. So to conclude, in order to reduce the memory management cost in big data system, we introduced YAC, and YAC was able to achieve a significant performance improvement while it only asked the developer to provide a pair of calls, which is a simple task to do. With that, thank you very much for your attention, and I'll be happy to take any questions.
Hello, Ming Wu from Shenzhen University. So my question is that how do you compare a YAC with the garbage first garbage collection algorithm?
In our experiment, we try to run and compare YAC with garbage first. However, we have problem with getting garbage first run in a stable manner. So sometimes when we run garbage first, then it just crash like out of nowhere.
Okay,
so we hope that Oracle is doing some work on that right now so that we can have garbage first later. Thanks.
Hey, Tanakon from University of Chicago.
Yeah.
So I see that you rely on developer to annotate the code for epoch start and epoch end.
Mm-hmm.
I think the position of epoch start and epoch end will affect only the performance, not the correctness. But what if a developer did some mistake, they forget to put epoch end, what will happen in this case?
Well, if the developer forgot to put the epoch end, then that just means that you allocate a whole bunch of objects that do not have the similar lifetime in that region. That will lead to performance problems since now when YAC detect another epoch end, let's say there's another epoch end which is not aligned with that epoch star, then now YAC has to move all those escaping objects, meaning the objects that have different lifetime from those that should be in there, then that will just incur overhead.
Oh, I see. So it will be handled by the next epoch end that it see in the code?
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, Alex Merritt, Georgia Tech. So big data systems use lots of memory, and they benefit from parallelism. Have you looked at how well this system scales on big machines?
Like what do you mean, like big machines?
Like if you run an application other than word count that uses hundreds of threads and terabytes of memory, how well would the system scale?
Well, we expect the technique will be applicable to those systems as well. It's just that we don't have the resources to test it yet, but then this, because YAC is built as a JVM-based approach, so it should scale well with like any kind of number of machines.
Okay, I'll follow up with you later.
Yeah, sure.